A woman said to her baby bump, "Even though I haven't met you yet, I have a heart full of love for you." St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "I have you in my heart." What a wonderful expression. And perhaps expressing something of a parent's love and protective care for their child. Whether they know Christ or not, for most people, Advent, like pregnancy, is a joyous time of expectant hope and anticipation, looking forward to the birth of a child. And for Christians preparing to celebrate the birth of our blessed Saviour Jesus, looking around the shops among all the glitter and decorations, there are Christian symbols, nativity scenes, stars, pictures of churches on Christmas cards. We can only hope that these reminders of the true meaning of Christmas allow God's love to be recognised by those who see them and to remember that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of his son Jesus. People prepare for Christmas in different ways, and people prepare for the birth of a child in different ways too, with the baby showers and gender reveal parties and shopping that happens these days. It may seem strange to us that Mary and Joseph were apparently so unprepared for the birth of their baby. But that depends on what preparation is considered important. Mary and Joseph were prepared mentally and spiritually for the birth of their son, God's son. They had agreed to their roles in God's plan for his son to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament. What preparation for Christmas is really important? Buying the cheap crackers containing bits of environmentally unfriendly plastic, fought over in a crowded shop by tired and stressed parents, wondering how they will pay the credit card bill in January. When St. Paul wrote, "I have you in my heart," to the Philippians, although he knew some of these people, he did not personally know all of them. But whether he knew them by name, face, or just that they were Christians, he was expressing his care for them and God's love for them, wanting the best for them as a child, as a parent for their child. We can express our love and care for others, known and unknown, through giving gifts. And today is our toy service, where we hope that our gifts will bring joy to children and families unknown to us, that they will feel that there are people who care about them. I have you in my heart. Mary and Joseph were the first to feel that way about Jesus, and they were the first to show their love to the baby Jesus before any other visitors arrived. When I was born, my father gave a teddy to me, still treasured. And if you saw the email picture, then yes, it is me in the picture. But my parents gave me three more precious gifts. Firstly, the gift of life, bringing me into this world. Secondly, the gift of love, to feel safe and secure in a loving family. And thirdly, as I grew up, the gift of hope for the future, with family life centred around God and his church and church family. Sadly, not all parents do their best for the children, often unable to do so because of circumstances, environment, and other issues that they have to cope with. They are unable to prepare their children for the future, and some grow up not feeling loved and with no hopes and dreams and no knowledge of the Christian faith. How much more then do these children need our love and care in whatever way we can show it? During this annual celebration of Jesus' arrival on earth, we're reminded of the hope we have in him and because of him. The birth of Jesus, among many other things, was prophesied about long before his eventual arrival. For many, these prophesied events gave them great hope in the midst of their suffering and pain. These 4 weeks of Advent, which means coming or arrival, serve as a time of inward preparation and reflection. The reading from St. Luke tells of how the Word of God came to John the Baptist and his subsequent actions. Luke wrote after 70 AD, when they saw the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and there was a feeling that the end of the world was near. A doctor and friend of Paul, Luke lived in the Gentile world, was well-travelled and very familiar with the Mediterranean world. Luke quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, which begins, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for." And Luke then quotes, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord." Luke starts by outlining the political situation at that time. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and then he names the three men who ruled the four regions of Judea, followed by the names of the high priests. John the Baptist was a Jew in Judea who performed the ritual to cleanse a person from past deeds through total immersion in the River Jordan. The word of God came to John, and he felt moved to travel the country around the Jordan River, preaching, telling people that they needed to be baptized, to repent of their sins, to publicly declare their commitment to turn from sin and to seek God's forgiveness. John made it clear that they were to prepare for the one who would come after him, for the coming of Christ. As we look to the future and worry about climate change, nuclear war, homelessness, etc., we might well wonder what is in store for us. But before panic sets in, remember that God is for us and God is with us. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God will be there with us at the end, and this is the kind of good news that we should be sharing. With all the problems and troubles in this life, try to end each conversation on a positive note. God came to us in Jesus, and he stays with us in the Holy Spirit. It is rejoicing in this truth that will sustain our faith in the reality of daily life. It is in supporting one another that we can build our Christian resilience to keep going in the face of all that we have to cope with. It's only through reading the Bible and growing in faith that we can develop the partnership in the gospel that Paul writes about. In the Old Testament, including the Psalms, were written before Jesus was born. But when we read them, it is in the light of the coming of Jesus. They were probably experiencing difficult challenges and different challenges than the psalmists. We can take comfort in the hope that they express. The four candles on the Advent wreath represent the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. All themes that can be found in the Psalms. So as we encourage one another to read the Bible, encourage one another to read not only the nice stories of the New Testament, but the more challenging stories and passages of the Bible. We should not just be looking on the bright side of God, but also remembering his wrath, his anger, whilst understanding that wrath is not the opposite of love. This is shown in the anger a parent expresses to a child they love when the child has done something dangerous. The parent may see the danger and unconsciously call out a prayer of, "Oh God," and when the danger is past, say, "Thank God." And even people who would not consider themselves Christians may see a glimpse of truth in those moments, and we pray that they do. Paul's prayer for the Philippians is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Discern what is best. Give the gift that expresses your care and love. Gifts come in all forms, a smile, a helping hand, discipline, honesty, hospitality, a listening ear, and a sympathetic remark. Gifts are not all delivered by Amazon. And we hold those we love in our hearts. Make sure that Jesus is there and consider what gift we bring to him this Christmas. As we read about the arrival of Jesus as a baby, remember that he is already here. As we remember the popular nativity story, we should read the Gospels carefully to remind ourselves of the true story. One of our book club books for this month is called The Christmas Mystery, a fictional version of how all the characters in the nativity story might have met up to travel to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of Jesus, with the Magi being given gifts to take with them. In churches and schools, there have been countless versions of the nativity story presented over the years, and I expect a few more are being prepared and rehearsed for this year. We all tell a story in our own words. Even if we'd all been at the same event, we would have different memories, different impressions, emphasise different moments. When I think of the traditional nativity story and the characters included, I can't find this story in the Bible. In Matthew's Gospel, he records the visit of the Magi, but there are no shepherds and no inn. We can find the shepherd's visit recorded by Luke, and he mentions the inn, but not the innkeeper. And yet I think almost everyone telling the story of the Nativity would include the Magi, the shepherds, the inn, and the innkeeper. So how well do we really know the Nativity story and understand its significance? Advent is the time to find out. My hope is that everyone will receive a gift this Christmas, that physical gifts will represent and be accompanied by more precious and lasting gifts. The gift of life, a fruitful life on this earth, and a belief in the life to come. The gift of love, to know and to share not only earthly love, but also the love of Jesus. The gift of peace, that those in need and in danger will know that they are not forgotten and help will reach them. The gift of joy, as we celebrate the birth of Christ and all new life. The gift of hope for the future, to believe that Jesus came to this earth to live for us, to die for us, to return to heaven to wait for us. May we truly know what it is to be held in the heart of those we love, especially Jesus, this Advent, this Christmas time, and always. Amen.